You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to your favorite day of the week. This is Locked On NBA. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Adam Morris. It's been a little while. Adam, how you been?
I'm lasered in for this podcast.
That was perfect. It was almost like we planned it. Today's show, we are going to talk about the NBA draft. It took place. It happened. It was less momentous, I guess, or less crazy, and also as crazy as people would have thought. It was a wild night. So we're going to talk about big picture stuff. No player trades. LeBron and Kawhi stuff gets kind of funneled into it, and then the big trade between Dallas and Atlanta. Then in the second segment, we're going to talk about the picks that we loved and hated, and then some too early predictions for the way everything's going to play out in some of these guys' rookie years. And then finally, in the last segment, we're going to drop some hot takes. We're going to spit some hot fire, straight dialing style.
You always have hot takes, Anthony.
It's the only kind I know. So let's get into it. You guys know where to find the show. Anywhere you find the show, you guys know where to find us on Twitter. At Anthony Irwin LA, I host Locked On Lakers, at Adam underscore Modest, and he hosts Locked On Nuggets. Adam, your big picture thing, the first thing that you and I both mentioned to each other when we were getting together and figuring out what we were going to talk about was the lack of any current NBA players being moved. I can't remember that ever happening in my recollection of anything.
Yeah, I was, and especially coming into it, we thought there'd be like tons of trades. So
yeah.
I expected some kind of player to get moved. This was an interesting draft, though, because the order, you know, Draft Express famously got the top 11 picks right. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's a possibility. This was one that I felt like was off the rails quickly and stayed off the rails all night in terms of just guys fell, I didn't expect, guys rose. It was fun. It was a fun draft night. I had a lot of fun tonight.
It was a really fun draft, despite the lack of player movement. I guess this is what happens when Luke Ridenour isn't in the league anymore and he can't get traded.
He's not even the first, like, ultimate trade. I think, man.
It's like Ramon
Choo-choo Sessions. Matabam. Choo-choo Matabam has been traded, like, 20 times. He's never played in the NBA, but he's been on every team somehow.
He's got to call him the choo-choo train, just because he just goes from city to city. To me, my big picture takeaway from what we saw kind of take place over the course of the night was the Cavs took a guy who doesn't really fit with LeBron, and the Lakers specifically took guys who are trying to get to fit with LeBron. The Kawhi stuff came and went, and the door was apparently shut on the Lakers and trying to call them. Like, imagine how that conversation goes, right? Like, Pelinka calls. Hi, RC. How's it? it just ends right there. But how do you feel about that assessment? Because Colin Sexton, to me, doesn't make any sense for the Cavs if they want to keep LeBron around.
Yeah, I think that train. I mean, I've thought that train has sailed a long time ago. So it didn't make sense for me for LeBron going back. But I'm not in the know there, so maybe he would. But I'm with you. Yeah, Colin Sexton, a really weird pick there. I know a lot of people, I think he's a polarizing player, and I think he's always going to be a polarizing player, because I know a lot of people that thought best point guard in the class, top five type guy, and then I know people that were like, you know, mid to late first rounder at best. Mm-hmm. I'm more of the second camp, but I certainly, yeah, look at that and think, hey, first of all, is there a rookie that you put out there? There's only maybe a few at the very top of this draft, but for most rookies, I just don't think LeBron wants any of them. He wants win-now type players, so all of those guys would have been weird.
I can't believe you would disrespect my boy Wagner like that, but sure.
Yeah, and I really disagree. I don't see how the Lakers got getting Wagner is like, oh yeah, now LeBron's coming. That was really, he was waiting to see who you guys got. Wagner, okay, that's it. He's there.
This isn't going to be on my pick that I hate, or maybe it's on yours, but I was at a draft party. We were watching that with a bunch of Laker fans, and the room went dead silent. Nobody had any idea what was going on.
I mean, look, the Warriors weren't watching that pick and going like, oh no. Like, all right, we need a new game plan, guys. Just got real.
All right, let's wrap this first segment up with Dallas and Atlanta. Dallas, yep. Our boy Kirk Henderson. I wish I was in the room with him as that was all going down. But Dallas moves up, takes Luka Doncic. Atlanta falls back and takes Trae Young. Essentially, they swap picks, and then Atlanta gets a future first out of the deal. What'd you think of the deal when it went down? And I personally thought Trae Young went a little early, but how'd you think it all went down?
Well, I got my take I'm going to save for you in the next segment about Atlanta. But for Dallas, you know, congrats to them. I think that was their guy all along. Yep. I'm excited. I like Doncic, and I want to see him in a good place, and I think that's a good place. That's a coach that knows how to coach spread, pick, and roll. A little heavy-handed, so maybe some of the creativity, and I think with Doncic, he's a player that you have to kind of let do some of the crazy stuff, because as frustrating as it is when it goes wrong, it's really exciting when it goes right. Yep. But I do think just the spread, pick, and roll style that they like to play is going to be good for him. So I liked it.
I especially liked it too. And look, this is where you see the difference in organizations, right? And this to me was, you talked about how it was kind of chaotic. That's what happens when the Phoenix Suns and the Sacramento Kings are the first two picks of any kind of draft.
That's true.
All right. We're going to take a quick second here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the picks that we either loved or hated. So stay tuned for that. All right, I'll let you start, and I'll let you pick.
Well, we just talked about Dallas getting Luka. That's my favorite mm-hmm. pick of the night. I mean, just again, that's a good landing spot for Luka. It's good for Dallas. I think they're an interesting team. I'm excited for that. But I'm going to go with the second one. Before you give yours, I'm going to go with the second one. And I don't know that I like this from a winning standpoint, but I like it from – it makes basketball more entertaining for me is Atlanta – they got the B version of Steph Curry and the B version of Klay Thompson. I am so on board with the Atlanta Hawks. Do you remember a couple years back, this was 2015 or 16, when Atlanta and Golden State played what was arguably the most entertaining regular season game I've ever watched in my life. Like, both teams are just so good with ball movement and shooting at the height of their powers. I like that Atlanta is like, you know what? Let's just recreate the Warriors, and yeah, it'll be 80% of them, but this will be great.
So which is a better nickname, Kirkland Signature Stephen Clay?
Okay.
Or, oh crap, what was, oh, Bank Swish Brothers.
I'll go with the Kirkland brand. I think so. I'll go with that one.
I do want to go back to the Doncic thing. One thing I'm trying to figure out is, do we think Dallas is good again before Dirk retires?
No, of course not. I mean, I think he's got one more year left. Even if he has two, I don't think they're good within that time. And if you say good, they have an incredible coach. They could end up manufacturing 45 wins, be a 40-win team, but win 45, so, and make a playoff spot. So maybe they could do that, but I don't – good? No, I don't think they'll be good.
Yeah, I think it depends on how they use their cap space this year. But I still think Luka and Dirk and Dennis Smith Jr. on a court at the same time is going to be a lot of fun. I'll go with the pick that I really liked. Doncic was mine. But I feel like too many people are kind of crapping on Bagley. Like, I really like the guy.
I'm sure you do, Anthony. You also liked Wagner as a guy that's going to recruit LeBron. That's so, okay.
That's because I'm a ridiculous homer.
Yeah, but you're like, not on fire today. let's see. You're agreeing with Vlade Divac, so I think Divac. So I think already we're off the, you know, you're in murky waters.
Here's the thing. I think where Kings fans are rightly pissed off is that, all right, if you liked Bagley and you knew that the Dallas Mavericks liked Doncic the way that they did, why didn't you get into trade negotiations with them?
Right. Yeah, because Atlanta wouldn't take – yeah, I think you would have been fine.
And like that, that's where, you know, I think they have a legitimate gripe as fans of the Sacramento Kings beyond, you know – I mean, you have a gripe with yourself at that point. But I think as a player, I really like what Bagley brings to the table. It's just a matter of spot.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think he's like – I think we get too locked into archetypes, right? And like, oh, you have to be able to do this and this and this. And like Julius Randle, I think this year has really shown that he is not a quote-unquote modern four, but he's also a problem. And mm-hmm. so like – and I think Bagley might be that guy. Like, no, can he do the things that we see teams have to do? Probably not. But you know what? He's such a pest and such a menace on the boards. And like, from the dunker that maybe he actually is too dominant there that teams have to go big and match him. So I don't. But come on, the second pick. I think that's a little bit crazy for me.
Which pick did you dislike? Which pick did you hate?
Jerome Robinson, I thought at 13 was a reach. I don't think he was that type of player. I think he's and especially when you talk about who did they take right ahead of him?
They moved up to take Shea.
To Shea, yeah. So they go with a couple of guards there. I don't know. That was a weird pick. But I want to go back to an intriguing pick and get your honest assessment here, because obviously I'm a Denver fan,
mm-hmm.
and Denver had Michael Porter Jr. fall into their laps. I think when you kind of had to take him if you're Denver there. I was in the media room at Pepsi Center today, and when that pick was announced, nobody knew what to do. Everybody was afraid to share their take, because it was kind of like, man, is this exciting? Is this scary? Like, what is it? And I think I've settled. It took me like 2 hours. I've settled on I'm all in. This is incredible. He might be the best player in this draft. He's 6'11".
He's a big boy.
I didn't realize he was that tall. 6'11".
Yeah.
I'm all in now. It was worth the risk. He might never play, but he's worth the risk.
I look forward to him and Jokic giving up 130 points a game. Like, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, we'll, you know, 6'11", again, as a small forward.
Here's where it comes down to value, right? And you're not going to get a kid as talented as that at 14 without some blemishes. And I think it's it's worth the risk. I mean, and you can do that if you're Denver, because they have hit on.
You have to do it.
Well, no. I think other organizations that don't have the young talent that Denver doesn't move, right? And that's they can do that kind of thing when they have the young talent that they do. So that's why he
fell too, is because all these other teams were like, man, it'd be a total. Yeah. I mean, he fell because Denver has the ability to not play him next year and just let him take a gap year. A redshirt year and train, and that might be what happens. But I love it, because if he ends up being the player he was a year ago before the surgery, then Denver just added a top player at a position they needed going forward. So yeah. I'm very intrigued. I'm riding a high wave right now.
All
right,
this might be a hot take, but the pick that I did not like, the pick that I did not like the most tonight was Ayton going number one. I am all out on the kid. I always am concerned about bigs who are not able to defend the rim, and that was one of the knocks against him, and he's not as good defensively. And it's like, in the modern NBA, as a big, you got to do two things. You have to be able to roll and finish, and you have to be able to defend sparsely on the perimeter, but you have to be really good at the rim. And he scares me in that respect. He looks the part in all those things. And then this is going to be kind of like a intangible kind of knock on the guy. But the quote where he says that his goal in the NBA is to make it to his second contract, like, that's such a red flag.
That's a weird
really
one.
Terrifying.
That's definitely a weird one. I don't think at number one, I don't have him number one either, but I don't know that that's the worst pick in the draft. I think it's a very defensible pick, even if it wouldn't have been mine.
Although I would have really liked to seen Doncic and Devin Booker on the same team. That would have been a lot of fun. I they couldn't defend the lick, but you know,
that's
neither,
right.
Neither can Ayton. All right, we're gonna take a quick second here. When we come back, do you want to make a couple? Let's make a couple quick early predictions.
No,
here.
Next. That's for next round.
All right,
those are our hot takes.
Oh, all right. We're gonna drop some hot takes then. Stick around. I feel like we should get some like reggae horns, like the reggaeton horns, you know, before we drop our hot takes. But you're the sound guy here. Two early predictions. Before we get into like the super duper hot takes here, and most people are probably going to say I dropped one in the last segment. I'm really sorry about that. But two early predictions. Who's your two early rookie of the year pick?
Well, my first annoying pick of the year is that, or my first hot take pick of the year is that this will be one of the most annoying rookie of the year races ever. because let's look at the players that
last
we
year
have.
Was pretty terrible.
Yeah. Well, God, with the rookie campaigns is dumb, but. Marvin Bagley III is going to put up like 20 and 10. This is what he does. I mean, he's going to put up stats. Sacramento's probably not going to be any good. And he'll probably have horrible advanced stats metrics. Luka Doncic is probably going to be the opposite, in that his numbers will be unimpressive and he'll have like some ridiculously great plus minus. Ayton, same thing. He'll probably put up stats, but the, you know, advanced stats I'll hate. I just think there's going to be a lot of Trey Young might have some nights where he scores 45. I mean, I just think there's going to be a lot of guys that have really annoying cases where if you squint, you can make the case for them. and so it's shaping up to be a real bad one.
All right. Nobody wear your glasses when you're looking at this. Nobody wear reading glasses. If you were looking for a superstar in this class, this is not the one for that, right? Because I don't really see a bona fide star. Maybe Doncic, but outside, I don't really see a bona fide star, and that makes it really tough when you're looking at some of the rookie. Look, here's maybe my hottest take possible is that I wish we would do away with the Rookie of the Year award. I just think
it is kind of a dumb award,
Well, my problem with it is like it forces you to analyze all of these guys comparatively, and I think that's just not a really good way to do it with any player. Period, but especially with rookies, because there's so many different scenarios here. It's impossible to do that. But my early pick, I guess, for Rookie of the Year is Bagley, and it's for the stuff you talked about. He's gonna go out there. He's gonna put up crazy numbers that have historically won the award. The other thing too is that I don't see anybody in the top five for if you have to go down to like eight. No, not even eight, because I don't think LeBron's going to be in Cleveland. You have to go all the way to 11 to go to find a team that might care about winning, maybe right. Even a little. And that's, you know, that never really produces anything great. Any other too early predictions here?
I think Robert Williams will be the player everybody says. How did he fall that far? And I think half of it will be he's super talented. I think he's super gifted, like physically great, great measurables, all that stuff. But I also think he's like a good player, or has good potential, I should say. He's landed in the spot that players achieve their potential in Boston. I just think he'll get used right. I think he's going to be a stud. I think he'll be I think teams will regret not having him. And I hate to say that because it feels like this is like the sixth year in a row I've said that about Boston.
He is not like there were some motor concerns, I believe, with Robert Williams, right? There that like,
yep.
And motor doesn't matter when you're playing like 10 minutes a game, you know. So I think I really like that prediction. Other prediction here that I really feel strongly about is, gosh, you're gonna I hate saying this to you particularly, but I think Michael Porter Jr. is gonna be good. Like I think he's, it's annoying. I was trying to like talk myself out of saying that on the show the whole time because I knew I was going to say it to you. But I think he's going to be good. I think things are going to work out for him. Other thing, Josh Okogie is like the perfect Tibbs pick.
Oh man, I love that pick. I love him though. I like him as a player. I actually am kind of bummed he went there. I wanted him to go for entertainment purposes. Tibbs doesn't play young players, and so I feel like he might end up being relatively buried there. But
you think? Because I feel like this is – if he's going to play a young player, it would be somebody like Okogie who does the things that Okogie does.
Yeah, I also think Okogie is a guy that I wanted to see him in a high-motion offense where I think he's going to be good as a cutter. And like the more the game speeds up tempo-wise, both up and down plus also in the half court, I think he shines. But the more he's standing around watching Towns ISO post up, like I don't know that he has value there. But I do like him. I do like that pick, and I am intrigued by him.
Did you see anybody in the – was there anything that stuck out to you in the second round?
Again, I think Denver gets an A+ because I think Jared Vanderbilt was a first rounder that fell to the second. So that one is interesting to me. I think Eli Okobo falling to Phoenix is another one that I kind of like. That's a good pick there. So Phoenix has a lot of talent. I don't know that I love the fit of all the pieces, but they have a lot of guys that I kind of like.
I really, really like DeAnthony Melton in Houston. I think that makes a ton of sense given what they need from the backcourt partner with either Chris Paul or with James Harden. He can play with both guys, and I think that's really important from any kind of pick there. I have this. I'm going to do a little reporting here if you don't mind, but I have it on great standing that the 61st pick in this draft was going to be LiAngelo Ball.
There was a third round.
He'd be right there. He'd be right there.
Kata Bates Diop going 48th also surprised me because, you know, in all mocks, he was like in the 20s type guy. In fact, there was conversation. We did a profile on him at Denver Stiffs because we thought maybe he would go, you know, in the teens, but he went 48th. That's really surprising to me.
My last point that I got to make here, and it's because you've been able to talk at length about your team, but at 47, the Lakers got Svi Mykhailiuk, and given what they're trying to do this year, if they are able to pull off the LeBron Paul George combination here, having somebody picking up somebody at the 47th pick who is arguably the best shooter in the draft, one of the best shooters, if not the best shooters, just catch and shoot guys in the draft, like that's hugely valuable. And he can be hidden if they do wind up with Paul George and dare say Kawhi if that kind of thing happens. But if that happens, then, you know, I could see Mykhailiuk going to San Antonio. But he can be hidden if you get the right defenders around him. And he's 6'8". Now he has a negative wingspan, which is kind of odd.
That's so weird.
It's really weird.
That's so weird.
It's really weird. I think it actually makes him a better shooter. Like because when you're that tall and you have that much arm length around, it's kind of hard to get everything in the right spot at the right time. But he being 6'8" can get his shot off quickly, and he'll have time to do that when he's catching skip passes from LeBron. I think that was a really good pick, and again, it goes back to the point that I made at the beginning of the podcast that it seemed like the Cavs were picking for the lack of LeBron, while the Lakers were picking for if and when LeBron comes or goes, depending on where you're listening to this. And I think that was kind of telling. I'm a homer. I'll cop to it. But I think that was kind of telling of the way both teams think this off season is going to go.
Agreed.
any funniest moments? Like the funniest moment we both have to agree is Woj, right? Like
what a great job he did tonight. I did like that everybody had agreed to this, and then immediately everyone was just tweeting it out. And it's like, okay, all right.
No, I thought that was going to – I liked how they – so the first thing that we saw there was, okay, we aren't going to tweet the picks. Promise? We're good. Okay. 6 hours before, he tweets out like the first,
yeah, the top six or whatever. Yeah, that was great.
And then he said that, you know, the lasered on, and I was waiting for him to say that a team was going to buy a couple drinks for a pick. Like it kept going in an interesting direction. I'll just put that out there. Any last points that you want to make before we send everybody off into the weekend?
No.
All right, so that'll do it. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On NBA podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Adam Morris. You can find my show, Locked On Lakers, on anywhere that you find it. You can find Adam's show, Locked On Nuggets, anywhere you find podcasts. You can find this show everywhere that you find podcasts. Make sure you guys are sending those 5-star reviews. Make sure you guys are adding Adam with all of your pre-draft or post-draft analysis. He really enjoys that stuff. We'll talk to you next week if Adam doesn't kill me. Talk to you soon, guys.